Hello, you're listening to Tentative, a podcast about digital product design. I'm your co-host, Red Lemedin from Stockholm, and with me is the amazing...
Oh, you mean me?
Kyle Fiedler.
Kyle Fiedler.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't have added amazing. Yes.
I want to talk about designing versus implementing, especially from our conversation last week about iOS design and the like trade-off we have to make there. So one of the thing that I'm thinking about recently is what exactly is the difference? Like, when are you designing versus when are you implementing?
Yeah, I think this is a very good topic because I'm dealing with it right now. So I guess, yeah, I agree. This is a very good topic.
So we kind of talked about it with our designer meeting last week for iOS. But I also think it's something that is prevalent in the web. And I imagine we're also going to touch on another topic, which probably deserves its own episode, which is like, should designers code?
Yeah. But I think it's related in a way to design on iOS because it's basically, yeah, I think there's some overlap.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of overlap. So my thought process is you can design and implement at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Or you can design and then implement. And the difference to me is implementation is the final product. It's like building of the final product that someone's going to use, and design is the thinking behind that implementation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, design is basically solving a problem, and that problem has like multiple like angles to it. So there is the user problem, which is like, what is the job that the user is trying to do? But there's also like the other part of the problem, which is the engineering part of the problem. And I guess people usually tend to be to belong to one of the two groups. The first group is one that thinks that these problems should be separated, that when you're solving a user problem, the technical problem should not come into play. And those who think that these go like hand in hand because the technical problem affects the user problem and vice versa. So some user-facing problems might make the engineering part or the implementation part a lot harder, and vice versa. Like sometimes like some engineering decisions will affect user experience. So like the way, for instance, you load an image, that might affect the way user perceives your app, whether it's fast, whether it's responsive. So I, to me, at least that's my point of view, is that these two absolutely go hand in hand. And if you don't think about one of them, you won't end up with a really good user experience or generally like just good like product. But I guess the counter argument is that these are actually important, but they could be done by two different people. And that's like the thing you hear most of the time. Like, it doesn't have to be the same person. Like, one person can do the actual design and the other person can do the front end, and each one is like specialized in her field and they complement each other in a way. What do you think? Like, does having more than one person do the design and implementation, is it better, or does it come with some hidden cost as well?
So I guess it depends. In a lot of our cases, I think we've always taken the stance at Thoughtbot of designers should be able to implement their designs. And the reasons for that are, like, we can move a lot faster when designers implement their own designs. We can pivot a lot more, and the designers can be a lot more intentional about the things that you're designing, which is kind of like what you were talking about a little earlier. I think you can certainly be successful splitting what we do into multiple jobs, but specifically the design part versus like the front end development implementation part. But I would say that like they would need like very close interaction and making sure that the designer's intent is being rendered properly.
Yeah, definitely. Like the phrase that we usually hear of, can you nudge this a couple of pixels to the left? It became sort of like the iconic sentence that tries to materialize this problem of communication, I guess. But I think the way I see it, and I totally agree with what you just said, which is going to be boring because we agree about the topic. But the thing is, if there are more than one person trying to implement one design solution or one user interface solution, you have to deal with communication. And that's where things tend to be really tricky, especially if you're for instance, trying to describe an animation. Seriously, it's good luck with that. It's really hard unless you have the values. Like, here are the keyframe values. It's really hard to communicate the effect you're looking for to a developer without actually going and playing with those numbers yourself. And God knows, how designers tend to be very picky about these things. Like, this animation is not bouncy enough, or it's too bouncy, or it's too fast. The easing is not right. And there's so much stuff to do in there. And I guess some things are really hard to communicate. Color too is one of those. You can give the exact color value, but sometimes you don't know that exact color value yourself. You're also trying to figure it out depending on other things, like the amount of content and that sort of stuff. And if you're using Photoshop or Sketch or whatever, there's only that much content you can emulate. Whereas when you have a real app running and you can just go and change something in the code and see how that affects things, that's a lot more powerful. So that's the way I see it. But a lot of people don't see it this way too, because they think that these are separate skill sets, and knowing how to describe an animation is a designer skill, whereas knowing how to translate that into numbers is a front end or just a developer skill. And I guess big companies usually tend to work this way because that's the way they work, I guess, specialization of each. I think we talked about this in the last episode of over specific design titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this actually ties into that. If you're doing just one thing, obviously over time you're going to probably be better at doing just that one thing, but your impact on the product overall is going to be less. You will just have your area will be just motion or interactions or this, and that's overall the product might be good, but your impact is very limited. So that's the way I see it. But I guess the question is not whether designers should, because there's no seriously, I don't think you can say that designers should or should not. It's just there are some things that work for some companies and some people, and some things that don't work. And obviously designers shouldn't do anything. They should do whatever works for them. But the question is it empowering for a designer to learn to code?
Yeah, I think it is. And I totally agree with you, what you just said, which is designers should do what works for them and what works for their team. And so for some teams, it might make sense for them to specialize in certain things. And then in cases like ours, we prefer to have people that are more generalists that want to have control over the full stack. I think it works both ways, though. I think we need to have, and at Thoughtbot, I think we're lucky enough to have them, but we want developers to really care about the design, and designers to really care about, the implementation. And I feel like the best way to have the empathy from both sides is making sure designers have some idea of what goes into building the things that we're building from the front end and back end standpoint. I'm not saying they should be experts at it, but having an idea of how the features get built. And then same thing goes for the developers of having a simple idea of a good design eye and knowing the design fundamentals of typography and grid and some of that stuff. I think that way, both sides have more empathy and they're you can communicate better, because we both have like certain language sets too. And so the more that, you know, you can talk development, or developers can talk design, the better communication you'll have. And that kind of goes back to like the big problem that you had, which is like the more people you bring in, the more you have to communicate, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the more empathy you have and the more knowledge you have of the other person's job, the better you are able to communicate with them.
Yeah, absolutely. The point you're making is interesting, because we usually tend to see it from our side, like designers doing code, but it's actually equally important for developers to be design aware. They don't have to be like, again, as good as designers to implement designs or to make designs, but I guess there's nothing that I don't enjoy than working with a developer who doesn't care about design. I don't like it. Even though that gives me more freedom to do whatever I want, you know, the type of developers who would say, you are the designer, you decide. I usually don't like that. I want you to have an opinion as well. And me as a designer, I'm going to take that opinion and see if there's any meat to it, or if I can translate it into actions. That's my job. My job is basically taking that and making it actionable. Whereas just not having an opinion or not caring about design, like, yeah, whatever, you can put red or blue or whatever, it's none of my business. I just want to care about the code. I usually don't like working with developers who have this attitude. And I would expect them to not enjoy working with designers who send them like Photoshop or Sketch files and like, yeah, figure it out, slice it or export it or do whatever you want. It's your, my job is done at the design step.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Like, if the developer doesn't care about the design as well as the designer's caring about the, you know, the way the thing's built, you can see that in the app. Like you talked about earlier, like if the developer is not caring about the user or the usability of the app, like there are going to be decisions that they're making that are design decisions, and they'll affect the usability and the flow of the app. And if they're not thinking about it in a design sense, like they're not going to make the right choice, and either they're going to ship that feature that is going to harm the usability of the app, or they're going to have to go back and redo it because the designer is going to point it out, and thus, you know, the cycle of frustration between the designer and developer.
Yeah, it's funny because like that cycle has been like the source of a lot of like tropes that like developers don't get along with designers and vice versa. And I've never experienced this, to be honest. Like my previous experiences, they were pretty healthy in this regard, where like this, even the developers cared about, I mean, I thought about, of course, but even before thought about, I worked with developers who cared about design. And maybe that's like the way I was like unconsciously like picking who I want to work with, like people who care about design basically in general. So I guess it makes sense. But sometimes I had to, even like indirectly, like through open source or otherwise, deal with developers who tend to not care about design. And even if they're not going to be implementing the design, I just would like to have someone who values the work you do. Because like, if you don't care and you still know that it's something important, I guess to some degree I can understand, like you don't think you have the skills to give an opinion, and that's probably okay. But I guess not caring and not thinking it's that important, I guess it's what would offend me most. Like, yeah, I don't care about design, it's your thing, do whatever you want, I don't care, I just care about code. That sort of like not caring at all also like makes you feel that it's not healthy to work in that team where people don't value each other's like added value to the project.
Yeah, no, so before ThoughtBot, I did work with people that they didn't like outwardly express that they didn't really care about the design, but the way that they would implement my designs was basically showing me, and it would come to me standing over their shoulder and doing the classic, okay, nudge this one, nudge this up a couple pixels, like, you know, this isn't aligned with that. And that's basically what led me to writing my own HTML and CSS, is because I was frustrated with that, you know, relationship probably just as much as they were. So like, I enjoy having the control and I enjoy not looking over someone's shoulder and saying, okay, these aren't aligned. This needs to be, you know, a few pixels smaller. This needs to be like, you know, a smaller font size. This needs to be a bigger font size, that kind of thing. Or like even like doing that kind of thing in a sketch or Photoshop document with comments, just for me, that seems like overkill.
Yeah, and I guess we're lucky at Thoughtbot because we do both. So I guess I think it's a really, it actually allows you to see a little bit more than what you would usually see if you were just always working in your like silo. So the thing is, like, right now we're talking about, so we talked of course about like designers learning to code, but I had the experience of being more on the developer side and working with designers who don't know to code. So for instance, from the client side, I don't know, in some situation I would be dealing with designers who don't code and I would be the person implementing. And I can say that's as frustrating as what we were just describing. I'm not sure if you had that experience before. Like, there's like the difference between doing the designs and implementing them yourself and working with someone else on the design and ending up the one implementing it. So you're acting most as a front-end developer more than a designer. You might be doing both, but at the end, you end up the one writing the code. And I had this experience, and if the designer I'm working with doesn't know like development or doesn't know the platform, so for instance, iOS, then it creates a lot of problems. Because the way I see it is that the other person would come up with some solution that's based on their previous experiences. So for instance, they would take something from their experience on the web and use it as a solution for an iOS app. And if you know iOS, or at least how things are done in iOS, you would immediately see that this solution is bad, both from a user experience point of view and also an implementation time point of view, because it's entirely something that's custom. You have to build it from scratch. You have to make sure it's accessible. You have to make sure it works in different, on different devices, and et cetera, et cetera. And the other person doesn't know about this stuff because they don't know the platform. So I have to like basically always be pushing back, like, hey, instead of using this pattern, how about we use this, which is actually used more frequently on mobile. And I could say that both sides can be as frustrating as each other.
Yeah, and I think that's where the, like, you talked a little bit about having an awareness and a knowledge, but like in that case, having empathy for each other, I think would have helped the situation, right? Like, we talked about this a few episodes ago of like knowing the medium you're designing for. And one of the things that we talked about was when I was designing the first iOS app that I was, you know, doing, I basically sat next to the developers and was continually asking, okay, what's the development time for this versus doing something like a different design? And just constantly bugging them. But part of that was I had, you know, empathy for them of like having some sort of knowledge, because I was bugging them, of like how much time, effort it would take to implement something. And then they also had empathy for design, just because like they know what goes into it and they've worked with, you know, me before.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would actually like to tell you a little bit about Code School. Code School is basically an online learning service where you can learn to program. If you're a designer and you will learn to code, actually, that's
you can learn code.
You can learn code as a designer. That's amazing. And actually, if you're a developer and you want to learn design, you can also like learn a lot of stuff in there. So they have like videos and challenges that you do in browser, so you don't have to install anything. Each course like is basically has like a theme. So they have like these really cool, memorable themes. Like one of the things I remember a lot when I started using Rails was like the, was it Rails on Zombies on Rails? It has zombies in it.
It's Rails. Rails for zombies.
For zombies.
So you can only take the course if you're a zombie. No.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. So there's this like very cool like theming going on. Makes every course, very unique. So obviously you can learn things like JavaScript, Ruby, iOS, HTML, CSS.
All the stuff that we talked about or are talking about.
Exactly. Like, actually, this is perfect for you if you want to get started with like learning things. And I think they also have an iPhone and iPad app that you can use to learn on the go if you're the sort of person who travels a lot. Could be useful. So to learn more, you can head to www.codeschool.com. Codeschool, one word. And you can get more information there.
And as a sponsor of the show, they're giving away a 1 month for some of our listeners. If you go to iTunes and rate us, you'll be entered in for a drawing to earn 1 free month for Code School.
So go do it.
Just do it.
I guess the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is related to this topic, is that like we do a lot of web design work at ThoughtBot, and recently we started doing iOS as well. But we realized that things don't translate one-to-one moving from web to iOS in terms of like translating the way we've been doing it on the web to iOS. And I guess it would boil down to the fact that on the web, like, things tend to be pretty siloed. So there's a separate like CSS file, and there is a separate HTML file, and there is the JavaScript, and then there's all the Ruby stuff on the back end. So it's pretty easy as a designer to learn just one or two of these. So obviously HTML and CSS usually, and then a little bit of JavaScript as you go. But for iOS, or like just native platforms, could be iOS or Android or Mac or whatever, you will be using the same language across the app. And you will be coding in the same environment as the developer, using the same code base, the same language, and the same scope, etc. So one of the things that a lot of designers find it hard is going from this medium where you have your own like bubble of like, all right, CSS and HTML files are mine. So I own them. I make sure that everything that goes in here, I get it reviewed. So that's sort of like ownership. But on native platforms, it's hard to establish that ownership because everything tends to be tied to each other. So your view is going to be feeding off a database that's also pinging an API. And of course, you, as a designer, you don't care about the API stuff. But to implement that view, you still need to have data from somewhere. So you either get the developer to help you, or if you know how to do it yourself, just to send some lower MIPSUM or something. You can do a lot of that. But still, I guess one part is the fact that it's harder to get into like that interconnected like code base of a native like application. And I guess there are ways that could probably help this. Like, so for instance, if you're doing iOS, you can use Xcode Interface Builder, which allows you to do some of this stuff without stepping on anyone's toes. But it's not always ideal to use Interface Builder, and sometimes it's actually better to not use it for some specific things like color management and that sort of stuff. So I guess this is the thing I've been trying to figure out myself, because I'm kind of lucky because I started this a little bit earlier than a lot of people. So I started doing iOS in 2010. And in fact, back then, my knowledge about web was probably less than my knowledge about iOS. And I sort of like stopped doing iOS for a while and then went back to web and got better at it. But at the point when I wanted to go back to iOS, the stuff I learned in the past was very useful. So it was easier for me to pick up from where I left. Whereas I think a lot of people who don't have that experience kind of like find it a little bit tricky to move from the comfort zone of the web where you can implement anything you want to an area where, you know, there's like a lot of unknowns. And I'd be interested to hear, like, I think we've discussed this in the past, but I would be interested to hear your take on this specific topic of like how, as a designer, how you keep your skill set evolving with whatever you're designing for. And this is one of the arguments that people have against this, is that as a designer, I don't need to be learning new code things. Like, I have to learn Swift now, and I have to learn this and that. My job is design and making the UI. I don't care about the implementation. And it's quite hard to actually have a counter argument to this, unless you really enjoy learning that sort of stuff, but not all people enjoy it. So it's not easy to convince people that, yeah, of course you need to keep up with the technology, because otherwise you won't be able to keep implementing your apps on whatever new platform comes out. Like now, I don't know, there's the Apple Watch, and of course you can do stuff on a graphic editor, but how about you would be able to do, for instance, like loading animations and that sort of stuff. The question is, do designers need to keep their skill set up to date with whatever is coming out, or is that not necessary?
I think they need to be keeping their skill set sharp. I like designers and frankly people that are always looking to learn new things. It doesn't necessarily mean like go learn Swift right now, or, you know, go teach yourself HTML and CSS, or go learn Rails. Like, pick the thing that you're really interested in and continue to sharpen those skills and those tools. And I just listed off a bunch of technology, but it also could be, you know, like softer skills, like conducting usability tests and getting better at that, or conducting user interviews, or doing other types of user research like ethnography, or being a leader on your team, being able to communicate better with your client or your team members. Like, those are all skills too. And then there's the like whole visual design set of skills of like typography and grid and stuff like that. And there's always ways for you to push those skills too. But I want to see people on my team always pushing those skills, right? Like always trying to get better at the things that they're passionate about. So like one of the things I love seeing is like for you in particular, like you have really gravitated towards iOS design, right? Like, and you've been learning Swift, Objective-C, and being able to start implementing your designs in iOS. Do I expect every single designer at Thoughtbot to do that? No. But I'm really excited that you are. And do I also go to you and say, hey, now since you do all this iOS work, now learn how to do the same thing on Android. I would imagine like if I did that, you'd be like, screw this. Like, you probably don't have the same passion that you do for designing for Android or that you would for iOS. And the hill there, the hill to climb for a skill set would be a lot harder, a lot longer, and frankly, not as much fun for you because you're not passionate about it, you know?
Yeah. No, I think your point is pretty clear. It's basically do what you're passionate about and become better at it. And as a team, that's going to complement other team members. So, yeah, one of us might actually be more like get better at, I don't know, animation or typography. And another one would get better at some specific other thing. And then if we need help from each other, then we can share that knowledge and use it when we need it. So, like, if I need, of course, like, I don't know, if I'm working a project that involves Android design, then I would know who to talk to if I need that sort of stuff. So I totally hear your point. And I guess this actually ties up to what we talked about in the last episode of like burnout. I think one of the ways to avoid burnout as a designer is to be learning new things that might help you in your job, but might not be strictly necessary to do your job. So like becoming better at coding or user research might not significantly like affect your job that much, or actually it might, but in the positive side, not in the negative side. So you have basically, what I'm trying to say is that you have nothing to lose to learn new things. In the worst case, you're going to learn new things and then get bored of them and move to other new things. And then one day when you need that skill, you would still have it there. So basically that's what happened to me, where I learned iOS at a point where designers didn't really care that much about iOS. And then when I needed it, it was actually easier for me to dig in that knowledge that I had in the past. And of course it gets rusty a little bit, but you quickly like you're able to refresh it. So what I'm trying to say is I think learning new skills as a designer is something that you would benefit from regardless of how much it affects your current project, for instance.
I think that's doesn't even pertain to designers. Like, for me, it's like it's everyone. Like, the day I stop learning is the day that I die, right? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily have to be skills around design, but like, I enjoy learning new things and being able to do new things and like pushing the limits of what I can do and make. And so like, people that are happy with their skill set and happy with the knowledge that they have, like, confound me, because like there's like so much out there for you to learn and for you to enjoy. And if you're, I don't know, I don't think I'd ever be satisfied with the knowledge that I have. And for me, it's like always growing, no matter like what the subject is.
Yeah. So basically what I'm trying to say is that the people who think that designers, or at least who think that designers shouldn't code, that's, I think, the wrong mindset to have. I'm not saying the opposite should be, yes, designers should code. It should be just like designers should go learn something that's not necessarily design. That's basically, I think, what it should be. It could be, I don't know, some people get into game design, or some people get into robotics or whatever. But I mean, tinkering with, I don't know, with computers, like Arduino or all of that make it yourself gadgets. And I guess those things also help you as a designer in a lot of ways. And as you said, it's not just about designers, but this podcast is about designers. So, and I think most of the people who listen to us are either designers or work for designers or employ designers. So I guess they're somehow related to design. So that's why I was like saying just designers.
I'm trying to expand our audience.
Yeah. So that, yeah. Farmers.
Know, we have more than three people listening.
Yeah, farmers can learn from anything. So yeah, if you're a farmer, please go learn stuff. Yeah, but basically anyone, that applies to anyone. Which means we don't need a firm answer to this question, really. It's not a question per se.
No, and I really like a lot of the arguments that we have on the internet are like arguments that like we need a, you know, black or white answer, like designer should code or designer shouldn't code. Which one is it? Like, there is no in between, right?
You should as use Photoshop. You should not use Photoshop. I don't know why we're obsessed with like these like black and white
binary things. I don't know either.
I know why, maybe because we make software and software is binary, so our brains also start thinking in binary. Maybe we're turning into machines without knowing it, because like, quite frankly, slowly, that's the feeling surely. That's the feeling I have. Like, everything needs to be either yes or no, black or white, must use, should not use.
The one thing that always like confuses me is when people say designers should code or shouldn't code, it's like, at what point do I know code?
Oh yeah, that's a very good like, question too.
Because so like, there's like a scale of knowledge, right? Like, I don't like walk into, you know, school and leave that day knowing everything about a programming language, right? Like, there's it's not a light switch. It takes a lot of time to like get to know how to do something, no matter what it is. So like, on that scale, well, like, where is it that I like finally say, oh, I can code?
Yeah.
Or, and then
what is code?
What basically is code too? Like, HTML and CSS, some people call that code. And for me, that's like
markup.
Yeah. It's markup and style, right? It's not, yes, I'm typing like
code
letters to get the style instead of dragging my mouse around, but
JavaScript would probably be closer to what you think of code, because like, you have logic and things like that.
Yeah.
So should I make it like an interaction or?
So the whole argument is just stupid.
Yeah, it
done.
Is. Like most of the internet arguments, they're stupid. All right, I think we sealed this one. This one is good. It's like, whenever someone asks us about should designers code or do designers code, I'll just send them to tentative.fm/9.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end this.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's shut up. So thanks for listening. You can find our show notes at tentative.fm/9. You can tweet at us at tentative FM and say nice things. If you want to say mean things, you can tweet at Rita. If you want to email us, you can shoot us an email at hosts@tentative.fm. And if you like the show, please rate us on iTunes.
5 stars.
5 stars all the way. If you didn't like the show, again, tweet at Rita.
I am at Kaishin on Twitter. So if you tweet at Rita, you're going to end up somewhere else.
So I recorded an interview with Ed from Between Screens. I really encourage you, if you like this show, to go check that out. Me and him talk about jobs to be done and design sprints and a bunch of other stuff. So we'll have a link to that podcast in the show notes. Okay, all we right. should end this.
I think I'll have to go. Have a very good day and talk to you someday.
Cool.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.